We start the day's other headlines with the latest on the partial government shutdown, which is now the longest in U.S. history. House Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Majority Leader John Thune say they've agreed on a path to fund the Department of Homeland Security through September. The plan would omit funds for immigration and customs enforcement and border patrol, the agencies most directly responsible for President Trump's immigration crackdown. Republicans would try to negotiate to fund those agencies later through separate legislation. Lawmakers could vote on the plan as early as tomorrow, though the outcome is far from certain. U.S. and Iraqi officials say an American journalist was warned of threats against her in the days before she was kidnapped from the capital of Baghdad. An Iraqi official says Shelley Kittleson entered Iraq from Syria prior to her abduction. She remains missing. Security footage obtained by the Associated Press appears to show the moment when two men push a person believed to be Kittleson into the back of a sedan in broad daylight. Iraqi security forces say they've arrested one suspect. U.S. officials allege she was taken by Kataeb Hezbollah, an Iran-backed militia operating in Iraq. That group has not claimed responsibility. Parts of the Israeli-occupied West Bank observed a general strike today. Residents were protesting a new Israeli law that applies the death penalty for Palestinians convicted of murdering Israelis, but not the reverse. Shops were closed and streets emptied in places like Hebron and Ramallah as locals called on the international community to step in. The pushback also took on more vocal forms. In Ramallah, demonstrators carrying Palestinian flags and banners chanted freedom for the people. One Palestinian politician says the measure is proof that Israel is not interested in peace.
This law reflects how deep fascism has become, and this law is a reflection of how deep the system of apartheid against Palestinians is consolidated here.
The law has drawn international criticism since its passage on Monday. The U.S. has not commented. In Ukraine, a rare daytime drone attack by Russia killed at least four people in the center of the country, with other strikes hitting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. In western Ukraine, charred remains were cleared after a strike caused extensive damage on a warehouse and postal terminal. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky condemned the attacks as he continues to push for an Easter ceasefire. In his nightly video address, Zelensky said he spoke with U.S. officials on ways to, as he put it, strengthen diplomacy.
I spoke to the American team today, in particular about this Russian attack. Other signals are needed, and a truce on Easter could be just the signal that tells everyone diplomacy can be successful.
A Kremlin official today dismissed Zelensky's truce proposal, calling it a PR stunt. In the meantime, Russia's defense ministry says its troops have taken full control of Ukraine's eastern Luhansk region. Kyiv disputed the claim, saying small areas are still held by Ukrainian forces. Russia has previously made false claims of such advances. Back here, the Food and Drug Administration approved Eli Lilly's new weight loss pill, which will be branded as Foundayo. It's the second daily oral medication to hit the U.S. market after the Wegovy pill by Novo Nordisk, and it is expected to ship as early as Monday. In trials, the company reported that people with obesity lost an average of 12% of their body weight after 72 weeks. The drug will cost as little as $25 a month for those with insurance, though that goes up to $349 for the uninsured. Kid Rock has welcomed news that the Pentagon lifted its suspension of the Army pilots who flew two helicopters near his home last weekend. The musician and vocal Trump supporter reposted a statement from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth that read, quote, "No punishment, no investigation, carry on, patriots." Kid Rock posted videos this weekend in which he salutes one of the helicopters as it hovered outside his Nashville area home. That prompted an internal Army investigation. The helicopters also flew over a No Kings protest in the area, which some attendees viewed as intimidation. SpaceX has reportedly filed paperwork for what could be the largest stock market listing in history. Multiple media outlets reported the filing today, with some saying the stock could value the rocket and satellite maker at more than $1.7 trillion. That could make its founder, Elon Musk, the world's first trillionaire. In the meantime, on Wall Street today, stocks added to yesterday's gains amid ongoing hopes for an end to the Iran war. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose more than 200 points on the day. The Nasdaq jumped 250 points, or more than 1%. The S&P 500 also closed in positive territory. And Apple is celebrating 50 years of ingenuity and innovation, setbacks and success. On this date, in 1976, founder Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak signed a two-page document that first created the company. A year later, they had their first big success with the Apple II computer. The company hit a rough patch in the 1980s, which saw Jobs leave the company. He later came back, as did Apple, thanks to the iPod, iPhone, and iPad. And fun fact, if you bought 100 shares of Apple stock when it first listed in 1980 at $22 a share, you would have more than $5 million today, if only. Still to come on the NewsHour. Rape survivor Gisèle Pelicot authors a new book about her ordeal that sparked a global outcry. And the Artemis II rocket aims for the moon in NASA's latest mission.
This is the PBS NewsHour from the David M. Rubenstein Studio at WETA in Washington, headquarters of PBS News.